Shalom Aleichem. So we're in Parshas Yisroi, Perek Yutes, Pasuk, well, Gimel Dalet. We ended yesterday by noting how Chazal note when Hashem tells Moshe, Koisoimal Beis Yaakov Isaged Livnei Yisroi, that there is a soft expression and a harsh expression. Hashem says, when you're coming to make your introduction on my behalf to the Jewish people, give them a soft message, a soft, warm message, and give them a harsh, stern message. And we're going to see how Hashem blended both into one statement. And the Aruch Chaim says like this. He says, Hashem, as he is introducing himself to his people, he wants to convey a perfect balance. There are two sentiments that we need to be operating with all the time when we're dealing with Hashem. Ahava and Yira. Love and awe. And sometimes the two seem like a conflict. So we have to understand that, no. The basis for our relationship, these are not two sides of a scale. The basis for our relationship, the characteristic of our relationship with Hashem is love. Hashem's love for us and our love for Him. That is the basis of the relationship. That's what the relationship is characterized by. And if you have a person who's approaching and feeling like, whoa, does Hashem want to punish me? Am I going to get in trouble if I slip up? What he needs to hear is how much Hashem loves him and cherishes him. And that's really the starting point. That's really the basis of it all. That's really the nature of the whole system. But we have to realize that it can't end with that. And we all realize that there isn't necessarily a conflict here, because you can have a father who intensely loves his child, but there is an element of fear in the relationship. Not a kind of fear that every step you take, you're wondering if you're going to trip up and you're going to get banged over the head. Not that kind of fear. But fear to step out of line. It's not at all a conflict to love. And sometimes, on the contrary, it can be enhanced by the love. Because the more I value my relationship with my father, the more I fear letting him down, disappointing him. But the truth is that here it's more than that. It's the understanding that with all of the love, we cannot take liberties in our relationship with Hashem. Don't say that because I know He loves me so much and I love Him so much, so he won't really care if I do X, if I do Y. And you kind of take it all with a certain easy, lax approach. This is wrong. What's being emphasized here is that the ava, the love, has to come along with a fear. Meaning, the point being, you have to, as much as the love is there, you must appreciate that you are in a relationship with the Creator of the world. And don't start feeling too at home, too free. You must always remember who you're dealing with. And you have to relate appropriately. And you have to keep your behavior in check appropriately. There's a lot of love, showers and showers of love. Chazal tells us, I'm paraphrasing it, but Chazal tells us that you have to realize that any love that you've experienced in your life, the love of a parent, I mean, love that you've experienced on the receiving end, the love of your parent, the love of your child, the love of your spouse, whatever love you may have experienced, is really just a drop in the bucket of Hashem's love for you. Hashem loves each of us intensely. But nevertheless, we have to realize that His expectations are real and that we don't have the liberty to decide to disregard here, cut corners there. No. The fear has to be there along with the love. It should not be a paralyzing fear. Don't think that with every step you take, you might mess up. That's not the way Hashem set it up. but fear to step out of line. The knowledge that Hashem will absolutely not tolerate it from his closest people. He will not tolerate it. There will be consequences for stepping out of line. And this is a very important part of the system, because the whole privilege of having a relationship with Hashem is appreciation of how immense he is. As soon as we become Hamish, our relationship loses its meaning. It loses its immensity. It loses its significance. Part of the quality of the relationship is the realization that we are given the privilege of interacting, of having a relationship with the Creator. So therefore, the fear has to be there also. Now, we really discussed the basic level, the fear of stepping out of line, knowing that there will be consequences, that Hashem will not tolerate liberties even from the people closest to him. But the truth is, when we talk about fear, what we mean is awe. It's awe. It's the experience of constantly standing in that awesome, awesome presence. Standing in the presence that you realize that there are millions of malachim who are quaking and shaking in that presence. And the realization that he right now has millions of malachim in front of him, but his focus is on you, above all those malachim. And this is already a higher level of yira. It's what we call yiras haremimus. It's like awe. But whatever the case is, back to our pasuk, the Or HaChaim says how Hashem is giving a message that will convey both. Kind of like talking out of both sides of the mouth at the same time. What does he say? He says, Atem re'isem asho sisi le'mitzrayim. We're in Pasuk Dalet now. Atem re'isem asho sisi le'mitzrayim. You saw what I did in Mitzrayim. So, Or HaChaim notes that Hashem doesn't say, I took you out of Mitzrayim. There'll be more of that soon. That will come. He uses a very ambiguous term. You saw what I did in Mitzrayim. What's he referring to? Is he referring to the favor that he showed us? Is he referring to the wrath that he showed the Egyptians? And the Or HaChaim says he's referring to both. He's telling you at the same time, look what I did for you because I care for you so much. And at the same time, he's saying, look what I did to them. Look what happens to the people who arouse my wrath. He is blending both into the same words. It's a message of love, and it's a stern warning. Look what happens if you do decide to flout me. But now, the Or HaChaim says, Hashem quickly moves into a much clearly warmer tone. Because, again, the relationship should be mainly characterized by love. That should be the main experience of our relationship with Hashem. But Hashem wanted to get in that edge. And even that, in a faint way, that faint edge of the fear must be present in the relationship. In order for it to really be right, to be structured correctly, for it to be in the right perspective. But then he moves on right away, V'esoeschem al kanfei nisharim, and I bore you aloft on the wings of the nesher, V'avieschem eloi, and I brought you to me. This is already pure closeness. Hashem is moving right back to the track. Okay, you got the message of the fear, now let's focus on the main thing. The main thing is that in a supernatural way, in a cushioned, pampered way, brought you very, very close to me. The Mefarshim give different explanations as to what exactly Hashem meant by that. I bore you aloft on the wings of a nesher. I'm specific, by the way, I'm deliberately not translating the word nesher because it's confusing exactly what exactly the identity of the nesher is. It's commonly translated as eagle, but apparently they say actually it's not the eagle, it's some sort of condor's. If I'm going to start translating kanfei nesharim as condor's wings, people will get confused. So we'll just call it the nesher and picture what you will. A grand bird. A grand and majestic bird. Okay. but what does that expression mean? That I bore you aloft on the wings of a nesher. So a number of explanations are given. One is that, yeah, I lifted you above the zone of the physical, the zone of earth, in order to bring you to me in a number of ways. First of all, I moved you through the Ananea Coven. I cushioned you, I pampered you on the Ananea Coven, on the clouds of glory. Chazal tell us that they didn't just lead them, but they were actually surrounded by the Ananea Coven from all sides and also from underneath. They were actually walking on them such that the rough floor of the Midbar was actually carpeted for them in a plush way. Another explanation given by the Mefarshim, this is Farnes, says, Al-Kamfei Nesharim denotes that just like the Nesher flies, soars high above all the other birds, outside of the zone of normal travel, so Hashem says, I did this with you also. I moved you through. Chazal tell us that the Midbar, the desert that Hashem moved the Bnei Yisrael through, many areas of that desert, the desert that the Jewish people walked through, were areas that were never tread by humans before. These were areas that were so arid and so hostile to human existence, couldn't sustain life, that these areas simply were not traveled. And it was dafka through these areas that Hashem moved us. Why? Because he wanted to show us this point. I am bringing you outside of the zone of earth. I'm moving you through unlivable land. We have to realize the whole period in the Midbar was a period of intense closeness to Hashem. I know that sounds surprising. We think of the Midbar as a period of just trouble. Not exactly the case. We're not going to get into it now. But whatever the case is, it was a period of intense closeness to Hashem, and it was also a period basically outside of the realm of the world of nature, outside and above the world of nature. We know that through the man, this is what they were eating the whole time, but also this was expressed in the fact that they spent these years in areas that really could not sustain life. So Hashem is telling them, it's not just that I took you as my nation, but I made a point specifically of removing you from the zone of earth. I want to illustrate to you, as I bring you to Har Sinai, I want to illustrate to you that you are now moving onto a plane, moving into a zone that hovers above the rest of the world. It's not a part of the plan of earthly existence. It's completely outside of that. Here, I'm moving you to area that's just not a part of the earthly frame of reference. Vavi'aschem Eloi, and I brought you all the way to me. I brought you to Har Sinai, but even more than that, I really brought you to my innermost chambers. I brought you to a place of nevuah. Nevuah. I think we mentioned a number of times, I'm not sure if in this forum, that nevuah was actually moving into Olam Haba yet in this world. Nevuah wasn't just the technicality of Hashem talking to you. It was experiencing Olam Haba in this world, connecting with Hashem in such an intense way that nevuah provided. And therefore Hashem is saying, I moved you all to this level. I moved you all to this place. I moved you straight up to the highest levels of nevuah. And I have to realize that this is a chiddush, because nevuah, again, like we said, it's actually moving into the zone of Olam Haba. The Kuzari says that once a person experienced nevuah, he had absolutely no more fear of death, because he had already experienced what comes afterwards. And on the contrary, his whole life from this point on was just focused on, will I be able to experience that again? Will I be able to achieve another nevuah? Any pleasure of this world, after a person experienced the nevuah, every pleasure of this world paled, lost its glow. All a person could think of was, once I experienced the real thing, will I ever have this chus of experiencing that again? And the Rambam describes how in order to get to nevuah, it was years and years of work. People had to bring themselves to a very, very high, great level, and there were yeshivas dedicated to this. This is the term B'nai HaNevi'im used throughout Nach. There were yeshivas dedicated to this, where people spent their days preparing for Nevuah, meditating, rising in their Ruchnius, so as to be able to achieve Nevuah. And here Hashem says, I'm giving you a shortcut. This is not usually the way it works, but I'm bringing you straight up to the zone of the highest levels of Nevuah. I'm bringing you all the way to me now because I want to initiate this relationship. And now he continues and he says, in Pasuk, hey, ve'ata, and now, im shamaya tishme'u b'koili, what's the purpose of this? Why am I bringing you here? If you will hearken to my voice, ushmatem es brisi, and you will keep my covenant, v'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim, and you will be for me a treasured possession from among all the nations, kili kol ha'aretz, because all of earth belongs to me. What is Hashem saying here? Let's break this pasuk down. What is Hashem saying here? So he's saying, I want to bring you to a place where earth is mine, the world is mine, the universe is mine. But with all that, my focus, my center of attention, what will interest me in the vast universe will be you. V'yisamli segula. Segula denotes a treasured possession, something that somebody holds very dear and keeps it with him in his hand. Like picture a king who has vast storehouses of gold and silver and diamonds. He doesn't necessarily has a diamond. It's not, okay. It's a part of his bank account. But let's say he has some very specific family heirloom, some gem that you might say that objectively speaking, it's not even worth more necessarily than all the other rubies and sapphires, etc., that he has in his storehouse. But this is something that holds special value to him. This is not in the storehouse. This he keeps with him. He keeps it on his belt. He keeps it around the chain on his neck. He holds it in his hand. He has it with him on his throne all the time. Why? Because this is something personal to him. So this is what Hashem is saying. V'yisem li segula, I have plenty of nations. I have millions of people. I have an entire universe. But you are going to be my prized possession that I'm going to keep with me, never let out of my hand or sight, with me on my throne, kili kol ha'aretz, while all of the universe belongs to me. But you will be the prized possession of all of it. And what does this depend on? Im shamaya tishmu b'koili ushmatem es brisi. If you'll hearken to my voice and you will observe my covenant. Ushmatem es brisi. Shmatem es brisi means bris is connection. It's sealing something in stone. I am bonding with you. I'm creating a connection between me and you. It's almost like creating a biological connection. Imagine if you decide and you come and decide that from now on I'm going to be this person's blood relative. No such thing. You can't decide that. When they made brisos in older days, they wanted to make a covenant of friendship. They would do that. They would make a cut. They would make a cut, in their hand or whatever it is, to show that we're actually going to join our blood. And this is what Hashem is saying: Shmartam es brisi. I'm going to be creating now an inherent connection with you, so to speak, a biological connection, and that's going to be characterized through the bris, through the Torah. The Torah is what defines the connection between us and Hashem. So, yeah, the essence of the Jewish people is defined through their observance of Hashem's Torah. It's like Sadi Goyen says, "In umasenu uma elevitayrosa." Our nation is a nation not like other nations that are identified in all kinds of different ways. The identity of this nation is the Torah, is its connection to Hashem. Everything else about the Jewish people has to fit into this. Eretz Yisrael fits into this. Eretz Yisrael is not a standalone value in Yiddishkeit. It is something that is worked into the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people, i.e. the Torah. And everything else we know about the Jewish people, there's no value to Jewish identity if it isn't firmly grounded in Torah. Unless the value of it is that it holds potential for connection to Torah. But just Jewish identity in and of itself that's not Torah is of no value. Not Torah, and also no potential connection to Torah, because that means that it's also not connected to Hashem. What's Jewish identity? The essence of the Jewish people is the fact that they are Hashem's people. But Hashem says something else. There's another clause here. Im shomaya tishmu b'koyli, if you'll hearken to my voice. Now what does that mean? If we just said that you have to observe the Torah, so what does hearken to my voice add? So, the Or HaChaim explains that this is adding another piece. Besides observing the Torah as in following halacha, etc., there's always the voice of Hashem in the background, meaning every stage of life and every circumstance in life, whatever is going on, always holds in it a certain call for growth, a call from Hashem, a call to utilize the circumstances that you're in, the opportunities that you're in correctly. And this is what Hashem means by saying, Shomaya Tishmu Bekoili. If you will be attuned to hear my voice, to read what my Ratzon is, what is my will in any situation that you find me in, this is more than just following halacha. It's understanding that every situation in life, every circumstance, whatever is going on, holds in it a certain call to respond a certain way. If you can make yourself capable of hearing the call of Hashem, hearing the voice in Hashem, and whatever is going on in your life, so A, you are firmly committed to the Torah, to halacha, to my will as manifest in that way. And in addition to that, you are attuned to the voice of Hashem manifesting through to you in your different life circumstances, etc. This is what creates a fully rounded relationship, which will turn us into that segula, that treasured possession that Hashem holds in His hand. Okay, we will end here for tonight. We'll end the recording and then we'll unmute.